Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Like a battlefield.
There's a battle for the soul of America.
We can't let him tear the kingdom down.
This is no game. This is war.
Flesh and blood. It's between the bad and good. We can't stop until the trumpet sounds. This is war. Not a game we're playing. This is a war.
The only question is, which side will you be on? It's time now for a call to decision with Pastor Butch Paul.
Satan's armies come to kill. This is war.
Hello and welcome, my friends. This is Pastor Butch Paul. It's 13 September 2023. And boy, you're in for a treat tonight. You really are. I've just had this gentleman on a couple of times in the past, and he's such a blessing to have on the program. And when I listen to his broadcast, I always get a blessing also. We're going to talk to Pastor Chuck Crismar in just a few minutes. Don't y'all go away. We're going to bring him up, let him share some information with you, and we're going to just kind of bat things back and forth and take your phone calls. Before we do that, though, tomorrow being Thursday, Lord willing, we'll be in the office tomorrow between 9 and 4 Eastern. Crystal's planning on being here, as always. Now, I'll tell you this, folks, and I want y'all, your prayer warriors, pay close attention, please. Y'all know her daddy, Johnny's been very ill for a long time. Well, I don't know how to say this. His body's starting to shut down some. He can barely see. He can't hear. He barely eats. And he's very, very weak. Now, I don't need to tell you, for y'all that called this ministry on Thursday, you talk Crystal. What a wonderful woman this lady is. She's been my right-hand man, so to speak, in this ministry for over 23 years. So please keep the whole family in your prayers. And their daddy, Johnny, would, by the grace of God, go home easily and be at peace, okay? Please remember that. And don't forget, we're going to have Bible study this weekend at 10:30 a.m. Eastern. We're going to be doing our regular prayer request, praise report time, testimony time. 11:30, 12:30, we're going to do Christian Worldview News from 1 to 2 Bible study, as always. And our guest tonight will be in with us, by the way, on the 30th. Yeah, we're going to have a fifth Saturday Bible study this month. He'll be in with us on the 30th to discuss different topics. I know you want to join us for that. But join us if you can this coming Saturday. Go to PastorButch.com and click on live stream, and there will be. Now, that's going to change soon, folks. Soon live stream will be no more. We'll be exclusively on Rumble Live. I'm not sure how that works. We're all Rumble already, but we're not live at most times. So I'll let you know when that comes about and how you can watch us live on Rumble at Bible Study. And later on, also the radio broadcast will be live on Rumble. And you'll be getting a picture of us. But I hate to do that. I've fought this for several years. I don't want to go on camera. I got a face for radio. But nonetheless, we'll do our best to make it work. But when this changes from live stream to Rumble, we'll let you know. Now, if you don't have computers, don't want to listen, or can't listen on the live stream, you can call us and listen on the phone at 339-209-5013. 339-209-5013. And I certainly hope that you'll join us. I truly mean that. I really do. Don't get the books for the rest of this month. I'll be mentioning a couple more weeks. Folks, I can't believe we're already the 13th of September. I mean, this month's gone by very quickly. The whole summer has. But again, all six books that I've written are available on Spatial. Of course, three of them are in one volume right now. But $42.95 for all six of them, that gives us not much over the cost of the printing and the shipping. But there don't be no good laying here. If you'd like to have them for yourself or friends and family, now, not because I wrote them, folks. I'm just a hillbilly. I do my best to write the books in a simple way. I give scripture back here, everything I say. If I mention something in history, I give you proof of that also. These books are good for study, but I think you'll find them interesting to read because they are simple and to the point. All six books are available for $14.95. You can call tomorrow and order them if you like, or call tomorrow and get our address and write to us and send a check, whatever you want to do, or cash. We don't care, but if you want the books, we'd love to send them to you. I truly mean that, and I hope to take advantage of it because, folks, we have to pay the bills here. Unfortunately, this isn't free. And I think our guest tonight will admit that and will tell you the same thing, that paying the bills and staying on the radio, he's been on 29 and a half years. I've been on 28 and a half years. I've been on 30 and a half years. He'll tell you this is not cheap, and it's hard to keep the light bill paid. But we offer the books as a blessing to you and also to help keep the bills paid. That's what we're trying to do. And I said the guest tonight is Pastor Chuck Crismar. He's a broadcast on that I listen to every day I can entitled Save America, saveamerica.org, his website, actually. And his programs are very well done. He's very well spoken. He states things in a way that even I can understand them. And I like listening to him. And Brother Chuck, are you there?
Well, I am here, and I want to make sure that people understand that the website is saveus.org.
Oh,
saveus.org. Yeah.
Golly, that's my first mistake this year. But anyway. And by the way, folks, if I'm talking a little funny, which even funnier than normal, I bit my tongue and it's really sore. So bear with me, please, as I try to lisp my way through the program tonight. But Brother Chuck, I listen to your program a lot, and I want to tell you that I thoroughly enjoy your broadcast. I like it when you have guests on, but I like it maybe as much or more when you just share from your information and your knowledge of what's happening, and I appreciate what you're doing. I really mean that.
Well, thank you, Butch. It's a great honor to be with you and your listeners here this evening again, and there's so much going on in our world. It's very troubling to people. People are, they're both brokenhearted, they're angry, they're frustrated, they're fearful. Just about anything that you can use to describe where people are and where they're coming from, depending on their personalities and so on. And so while the world is in chaos and our government is in great decay, because of its corruption. Yet, as followers of Jesus Christ, we should not be totally discouraged, and we need to press on. We need to press on without fear and with confidence, because God's written the final line, you see.
Amen.
And so I'd like to just kind of give a little exhortation here that's coming to me to try to encourage people a bit. I'm in the process of writing my 11th book now. It's called When Persecution Comes. And persecution is rising dramatically. It's not just all over the world. It's here in the United States. In fact, the article that I'm writing, the chapter that I'm writing right now, is about persecution in the United States and the clothes that it wears, the way that it comes across to us is not like most people think of persecution of people being thrown in jail and being beheaded and so on. But it's coming under color of law. It's coming through attacks, through medicine, through education, through law enforcement. It's coming through medicine. It's coming through all kinds of different sources. And it appears it's labeled like culture wars. It's labeled things like that. But in reality, the root cause of it all is spiritual. And so what I want to do is just kind of encourage people a little bit, because the next chapter that I'm going to write in this book shifts from looking at various kinds of persecution and how it's coming, the reasons why it's coming. But then in the heart of this book is going to be a message to God's people as to how to stand in the evil day. And I think that's one of the main things that we need to do. It's one thing to decry the darkness. And yes, it's getting darker and darker and darker. And Jesus said it would be like that. He said, if they persecuted me, they're going to persecute you. Why do you think you should be different than your Lord? So here's what I want to kind of real focus on. And then if you have some other things that you want to bring up. First of all, I want to direct our attention to Psalm 37. Psalm 37 is a wonderful, wonderful psalm. And it begins with words that say, fret not yourself because of evildoers. Don't fret because of evildoers. Now, evildoers are out there. We're not happy about it. We're not joyful about it, and we shouldn't be. Neither are we complacent about it. But we can't continue to fret about it. We can't be a bunch of hand-wringers all the time.
Amen.
And a lot of people raise money by hand-wringing. Did you know that?
Mm-hmm. Oh,
even
yes.
In the church. A lot of church leaders raise money by hand-wringing. And it's not helpful to people. So what I want to do is kind of encourage your listeners here today, and I hope that it will come off that way. The first thing is, fret not yourself because of evildoers. Evildoers are in the land. They've always been in the land, and they're going to increase as we see the day of the Lord's return approaching. And I think most people see that it's coming much more quickly than one would ever believe. Time is running short. Time is running out, and the Lord is coming relatively soon. We don't know the day or the hour, but we see the season. Okay, so don't fret. Stop complaining all the time. We can't be like the children of Israel who came out of Egypt, and their life consisted of murmuring and complaining all the time. They were always fretting about this, that, or the other. And finally, God got so upset with them, he said, look, I can't have these people coming into my promised land. They're going to corrupt it. They're going to destroy it. So he wouldn't let them come in. He only let two people come in, and that was Joshua and Caleb, who the Bible says had another spirit. So we don't want to be like that. We want to be like Joshua and Caleb. We want to have that other spirit. We want to be trusting God, and that's the next thing. Trust in the Lord. Now, we know another passage in Proverbs says, trust in the Lord with all your heart, lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he'll direct your path. Well, it is true. But our problem is we're having a hard time acknowledging him in all our ways. We want to acknowledge him in theory, but we don't want to acknowledge him in truth, in our ways daily. And that's what he wants. He wants us to trust him. And I got to tell you, Butch, if there's any one thing that God wants right now from his people, people would say, well, God wants you to love him. Well, that's true. But it's very difficult for people to really define love. But God defines it. He says, I want you to trust me. Now, if we trust him, that means we're going to obey him. Because if you don't trust him, you're not going to obey him. If you don't obey him, it means you don't trust him.
Well, Christ also say, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments?
That's exactly what he said four times in John 14. And he said, you know, if you love me and you obey me, then I and my Father are going to manifest ourselves to you. So what if we don't trust him and obey him? Then he's not committed to manifesting himself to us. And so we wander like people in the desert. And that's what it was like for the children of Israel for 40 years. So We want to trust him. Now, that brings us to a four-letter word, and that is the word obey, O-B-E-Y. Now, you pointed out there in John chapter 14 that Jesus says, if you love me, you'll obey me. If you don't love me, you won't keep my commandments, and so on. So it's interesting that Jesus is the one who says, this is how I want you to show that you love me. I don't want you to tell me you love me alone. I want you to show me. So it's show and tell time, just like we had in the kindergarten, remember? Show and tell time. So Jesus wants us to show him that we love him by doing his will. In other words, obeying him. Well, guess what? Over the past 5-6 years, I have asked many, many pastors and parachurch leaders on my radio program what they think of the word obey. And I have said, I believe that it's the most hated word in the church today. And guess what? Every single one of those pastors has agreed.
Amen.
Now, isn't that interesting?
It is. It is.
The very thing that Jesus said is going to please him is what we hate. Go figure. And then you try to figure out, well, why are we in the trouble we're in? We think the problem's in Washington, but the problem is in our own homes and in our own churches. So if we want to see change in the White House, we're going to have to first see it in our house.
Very true.
Okay,
very true.
And that begins with me. Right, Butch? Okay.
Amen. Well, I've always said that the trouble is not the White House, State House, or Courthouse. It's Church House.
Exactly. You got that right. You and I must have been listening to the same Holy Spirit. I can't tell you how many times I've said that over the past 28 and a half years. So, anyway, we're back to Psalm 37. We're not supposed to fret, and then we're supposed to trust. Well, let's play that out just a little bit more. We used to sing a song called Trust and Obey. You remember that song?
Oh, yeah, there's no other way.
Here's what it goes like. When we walk with the Lord in the light of his word, what a glory he sheds on our way. When we do his good will, in other words, obey, he abides with us still and with all who will trust and obey. So, trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Now, in that very simple song, Butch, we have the summary of what God is looking for. He wants us to trust him. And that has to be revealed in our obedience. In other words, our doing his will. And then if we do his will, we increase our trust. And when we increase our trust, we obey him more. And it becomes a completion, like a circle in our lives of ever-increasing trust and ever-increasing obedience. And think about Jesus. Remember what he said? He said, my meat or my food is to do the will of him that sent me. So that's all I came to do. I came to do the Father's will. I don't say anything I don't hear him say. I don't do anything I didn't see him do. And so I came to do the Father's will. And then, didn't Jesus say, as he ascended back to the Father, he says, as the Father sent me, even so send I you now. Well, if that's true, then if he came to do the Father's will, then that has to be what our goal is, to do the Father's will. In other words, we reveal that we trust him. So now we have, fret not, we're trusting the Lord with all our heart now, and the next thing is we commit our way unto him. Isn't that what Psalm 37 says? Commit your way unto him.
Amen.
Oh, well, what does that mean? That's another form of trusting. I'm making an absolute commitment. This is not a spurious thing that I'm doing here. I've just thrown my whole life on God's purposes and will for my life and on his kingdom. I'm going to seek first his kingdom and his righteousness no matter what. No matter what comes my way, I'm seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness.
Amen.
Well, isn't this what most people do? They want to seek the kingdom of God, but they don't want to seek his righteousness. Have you noticed that?
Of course. Of course. I've always thought of people a lot of times use the word God like a buffet. You pick out what you want and don't fool with the rest.
There you go. Absolutely. Line up at the buffet table. Pick and choose. Let me tell you a story. About 15 years ago, I was involved here in our town here on the James River, the birth river of America, here in Richmond, Virginia. And I was on my way for a morning pastor's breakfast. And we had been doing this for years. And so I was crossing the James River, not on a boat, but on a bridge. And I asked the Lord a simple question. And this is how I do things. I don't do long prayers with the Lord generally. I do simple prayers, simple, keep it simple, saints. So I said, Lord, we've had all these years of praying to you and begging for revival in our country and begging for revival here in this birth city of America, Richmond, Virginia. So how is it that after all these years, we still have no revival? That was my question. And the Lord immediately responded to me. Here's what he said. My pastors are not preaching righteousness.
Amen.
So I was contemplating that for a moment. You know, we can process our thoughts very quickly. And so I'm processing that very quickly. And then the Lord said, and by the way, that's why your country's in the mess it's in. So I'm processing that, and then he said, oh, and by the way, that's why my church can't do anything about it. So I got to the pastor's breakfast, and we were having, you know, coffee before we sat down to breakfast, just having a nice social time. And I was having a conversation with one of the pastor there who was a pastor of a large, multi-thousand parishioner church. It had its roots in the holiness movement back in the late 1800s, and I knew a lot about that denomination. And so I was just sharing with him this little tete-a-tete that I had with the Lord, the conversation I had with the Lord on the way across the James River. And when I got to this, I said, my pastors are not preaching righteousness. Here's what happened. The pastor hung his head and said these words, Chuck, I don't think I even know how to preach righteousness. Now, bear in mind, this is the pastor of one of the most going churches coming out of a holiness movement, an evangelical church, and he says, I don't think I even know how to preach righteousness. Now, if the pastors don't know how to preach righteousness, how in the world are the people going to know what it means?
Amen. Amen.
So the pastors are not at their afraid.
You have to admire him for his honesty. That was a big thing to admit to.
Oh, yeah, exactly. I was shocked. Because I guess he knew I was serious, and it gripped his heart. He was convicted right there on the spot. And I wasn't trying to preach at him. I was just sharing this little story. And so my pastors are not preaching righteousness. And I have never been able to forget that. Because that's the heart of our problem. The Bible says that righteousness alone exalts a nation.
Amen.
But sin is a reproach to any people. Abraham Lincoln even reminded us of that in one of his prayers. And so if we wonder, well, why are we in such the mess we're in? Why is it God answering our prayer? Why is it we've had 50 years of national days of prayer, crying out to God for repentance, for revival? Well, let me tell you another story. The year was 1996. That was a fur piece back, wasn't it?
Yes, it was. Doesn't sound like it, but it was.
See, I can talk West Virginia, too. A fur piece. Or is that just Southern?
That's you got that right. Fur piece and you know, and pert near, but not plum. But you got it. Go ahead.
I'm trying. So anyway, I became part of a very large gathering. It was called Fasting and Prayer 96 in St. Louis. 4,000 people, leaders from across the country, were gathered there to pray for the church in America. And pray for the nation, pray for the church in America. It was the first time such a gathering had come together in that way. And Dr. Bill Bright had actually made it possible because he had gotten this $1 million Templeton Award, and he was using it to promote prayer in the country. So we get there, and it's a wonderful time. 4,000 people gathered together. And the purpose of it was repentance. At least I thought that's what the purpose was. Well, during one of the breaks, I sat down with one of the premier prayer leaders in America, somebody I'd known for years, and sat down with this person. And I said, why is it, you think, that after all these years of crying out to God, and we cry out 2 Chronicles 7:14, if my people, which are called by my name, would humble themselves and pray and seek my face. So we've used that as themes over and over and over again. So how is it that we've never gone to the final part of 2 Chronicles 7:14 that says, turn from our wicked ways? In other words, repent. Why is it we have never had a theme about that? And here was the answer. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Three words, Butch. It's too negative. Those are the words.
Oh, my goodness.
The very thing that God says is the only thing that will please him and that will bring us back into favor with him is the one thing we say is too negative. Doesn't sell. Doesn't market well.
And this coming from a so-called spiritual leader.
Oh, yes, definitely. I don't dare tell you who it was.
Wow.
It would be so embarrassing to this person. So anyway, so we've got, going back to Psalm 37, we've got fret not. We've got trust. Trust in the Lord. Then we have commit your way unto him.
All right, hang on through the break. Don't lose that thought. Folks, back at the break, for y'all that want to call tonight, you can, 844-769-2944. I told you in for a treat tonight. Y'all hang in there.
Satan's army roams the land, seeking souls of fallen men.
Hi, folks. Pastor Butch Paul here. I'm certain that I don't need to tell y'all we're living in unstable times, or as the Bible says, perilous times. We're starting to see shortages of many products in America, cars, clothing, furniture, and even food. We can't do much about the cars, clothing, and furniture, but we can with the food, simply by calling Demand of Foods, the best in store foods bar none. They have a shelf life over 25 years, are great tasting, no GMOs, no chemical preservatives, no aspartame or high fructose corn syrup, and no MSGs. Give Demand a call at 888-597-0775. That's 888-597-0775. Or go to Nemana.com. Mention the Pastor Butch sent you and get a 10% discount. That's 888-597-0775. You'll be glad you did.
Are you paying an arm and a leg for a healthy alternative lifestyle? Are you tired of products not meeting your expectations? Is it becoming harder for you to have faith in restoring your body to the temple it began as? I know your struggle is real, and I'd be honored to help you and those you care about feel better and thrive. With organic ingredients and no fillers made right here in our own country, many of which are wild-crafted right here in the mountains of Montana, we at Superior Mountain Herbs are blessed to be able to get you the best herbal products with no hassles or misleading information. Truth and transparency is what you get with us. For a free list of products available to hear this month's special as well, please call Summer at 406-274-7579 or email me at green with an E at the end, assistantsummer@gmail.com. That's green with an E at the end, assistantsummer@gmail.com.
There's a lot of talk all over the internet these days about the remarkable benefits of Carbon 60, and baby boomers are especially excited about it. Whatever generation you're in, if you want more energy, better health, and a boost in vitality, we invite you to try Gresca's Carbon 60, a stunning development in free radical destruction. Being much smaller in size than conventional antioxidants derived from fruits and vegetables, it is far more bioavailable to quickly mend the toxin-crippled cells in your body. Gresca's Carbon 60 is the only C60 product that is made without the use of undesirable solvents. The only one. Gresca's Carbon 60 was developed by a brilliant NASA carbon scientist, and 95% report positive results from this Nobel Prize-winning technology in just 4 days. Visit C-60.com. That's C-60.com or call 720-600-6040.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it. Nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
This is war, not a game we're playing. This is a war.
All righty, folks, we are back, and we're talking to Pastor Chuck Chris Maher, a man that I listen to every chance I get right here in the little old radio station here in Nicholas County, West Virginia, and I admire his patience, his tenacity. I admire his knowledge and wisdom. He's learned a lot over the years, and I guess, folks, you've been in the battle long enough, you do gain a little bit of wisdom, a little bit of knowledge on the ways of the enemy. And the Holy Spirit reveals to you what we have done wrong and how we can fix it, at least in our personal lives, and try to teach others how to do the same thing. But when it comes right down to it, all we can do is reveal it. You're the one's got to change it in your life. We can't do it for you. Brother, go ahead and finish your story, then I want to share something. Go ahead.
Well, we were talking about committing our way to the Lord, there in Psalm 37. So we're fretting not, we're trusting, and we're committing. An absolute commitment. That's what our wedding vows are supposed to be. That's what our commitment to the Lord is supposed to be. We're married to the Lord now, and we're going to do His will. We're going to follow His ways. We're going to listen to His voice, and so on. So we commit our way unto Him. Then, in Psalm 37, it says, then delight in the Lord, and He'll give you the desires of your heart. So everybody wants to delight in the Lord, so they get the desires of their heart, but they don't want to fret not. They don't want to trust. They don't want to commit. They don't want to obey, but they want to get their desires. It doesn't work that way.
Mm-hmm.
So we got to go through the first part first, and then we've laid the foundation in our life of relationship with the Lord. And then we're in a position to where, you know, our desire is to do the will of Him that sent us, just like Jesus' desire. That's what Jesus wanted. He wanted more than anything else to do His Father's will. That should be ours. So we desire him. We desire to do his will. And we desire, we love his word. If you read the Psalms, you find out how David loved the word of God. Oh, how I love thy law. It is my blessing day and night. You, through your testimonies, make me wiser than my enemies. They are ever with me, and so on. Oh, how I love thy law. Well, that should be our attitude. We should delight in the Lord. If we're not delighting in the Lord, we're delighting in something else.
Amen.
So if we want to get into this pattern where we're not fretting, we're trusting, and then committing our way into him, then delighting in him, and guess what's next? Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Now, we need to be out doing the works of the kingdom, yes. And there's a certain amount of energy, as you know, Butch, that goes with that.
Oh, yes.
On the other hand, resting is an attitude of the heart. So we're not fretting. We're not hyperventilating. We're not like rats on a treadmill. The hurrier we go, the behinder we get. We're not walking in that American spirit. We're not desperate. We're faithful. We're continuing to commit, to trust, commit, delight, and rest. To trust, commit, delight, and rest. And all the time, we refuse to fret, to be full of worrying, to be full of complaining. Now, if that could become our life cycle, we're going to be able to endure everything that comes down the pike. The persecution that comes, and it is coming, all of the disappointments that come, because our hearts and minds are oriented toward our relationship to the Lord. So relationship becomes more than just a word. God wants us to have this keen kind of, yes, loving relationship with him, but it has to be made tangible in a way, meaningful. And that's where trusting and committing and delighting and then resting comes in. And over all of it is the word obedience.
Amen.
Now,
amen.
You've got something you want to share, and then I want to pick up from there. If we have time left, and I want to talk about a three-legged stool of that we sit on as Christians, that has to be there in order for us to be safe.
Well, that's my grandpa's milking stool. What that was, I remember that. But
yeah.
Anyway,
okay.
I spoke to you on the phone yesterday, folks. I called Brother Chuck to chat with him in it and mention a nice program to him. And I was sitting in the truck there, and my wife, Marsha Deems, in the car, is in the store getting a few groceries. There's a lady sitting in the car next to me, and I wasn't, wasn't paying attention. I was talking to Brother Chuck, and I was sharing about the nation and what's going on in the nation and how no government can be totally trusted, because the nature of government itself is to be a parasite on a healthy body, because if they don't last. But we're discussing different issues. After I got through talking to Brother Chuck and my wife had come to the truck, this lady walked over to the car. Well, started talking to us, walked over to the car and said, I couldn't help it. I wasn't trying to eavesdrop, but I couldn't help but hear the knowledge of what you were saying. And she said, you should be on TV. I thought, wow. But anyway, I said, no, I appreciate that. I really do. And I told about the radio broadcast, different things, and how she listed it right here locally in our own little station. But the point of this is, people, Brother Chuck, are starving for the common sense and knowledge of the Word of God. They're starving for it. The pastors are not teaching it.
Right.
They're teaching platitudes and little sermonettes that make them feel better and lift them up and send them home and,
yeah,
you know, come back next week and we'll tickle your ears again or whatever. Now, I'm not saying all of them are doing
right.
it, but most of them are. Most of them are.
Mm-hmm.
But it struck me that she's hungry for the truth. And it really honored me, humbled me, but also made me feel kind of frustrated that this lady had never heard this before where she goes to church. It bothers me.
Mm-mm-mm.
But anyway, you go ahead.
Well, yeah. I can understand. Exactly. Well, you know, a lot of people talk about the word believe. You know, we have the scripture that says, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you and your house should be saved, and so on. The word believe, unfortunately, is terribly maligned or misused among Christians. And in fact, as a nation as a whole, we have all, you go into a store and you'll find all these little words, believe, 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 believe. Believe what? Believe about what? What are you believing? Well, I just believe. Okay. What does it mean? What does the word believe mean? And is it connected with anything else in the scripture that would help us to understand how to be firm, how to stand in the evil day? So that's what I want to talk about for the next couple of minutes here, if we have time. First of all, the word believe is linked to two other words. In fact, they all come from the same root word. And those other words are faith and trust. Faith, trust, and believe. They're all facets of the same word.
Wow.
The problem is that in our country, I call it the Greco-Western world, the Roman Western world, okay, in which we have this idea that to believe means to give cognitive assent to certain facts. And there is a sense in which when we talk about believing something, we do mean that. But the biblical use of the word believe is far bigger than that, because it comes from the Hebrew. From the Hebrew understanding of the word believe, it means to hang your life on what you say you believe. In other words, to conduct yourself according to what you say with your words you believe in your head. So it's more than just a cognitive mental assent to certain facts. It's the actual, you're a doer of the word and not just a hearer. And so when, it's interesting that in Revelation chapter 21, it talks about those who, about believing, but they don't actually believe. And they're not going to make it. They're not going to make it. And if you go to the book
that's a strong statement. That's a very strong statement you just made, and it's true, but very strong. Go ahead.
If you go back and read at the beginning part of Revelation 21, you'll find that. And then you go to Hebrews chapter 3 and 4, which is reciting what God did with Israel coming out of Egypt in the wilderness, and he said they believed not. Well, what is it that they didn't believe? They believed what God was doing. They saw it with their eyes. The problem is that they didn't put their hang their life on it. They didn't really trust God. So trust is a facet of what it means to believe. Faith also is a facet of what it means to believe. And to believe is a facet of what it means to have faith and what it means to trust. So these three words actually make up what I call the stool of the Christian life. So if you have these three, it's a three-legged stool. If you have these three legs, faith, believe, and trust, and they're absolutely operative in your life, not just by words, but in reality, the way you conduct your life, you're going to be firm and be able to stand in the evil day, except for one thing. Now, I'm sure that stools in West Virginia are the same as they would be in Richmond, Virginia.
Probably.
And that is, if you had a three-legged stool and those legs are not somehow connected, with some weight on there, those legs are going to splay out, and that stool is going to collapse, right?
That's right.
Yeah, okay. So what is it in the Bible, what is it that connects those three words, trust, believe, and faith, so that those three legs are anchored together and you can sit on that stool absolutely trusting God that you're going to be able to stand at the evil day? It's the word obey, O-B-E-Y. That is the reason, that four-letter word that Christians despise is the one thing that God says is the anchor for everything.
Wow.
Faith and trust and believe must be anchored by the word obey. So it's like a peg or whatever that anchors each leg together, obey. Isn't it interesting that 1 John, Jesus' beloved disciple, said, this is the love of God, that you keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. That's the love of God, he said. How is it that we've missed it? So what I, in some of these things that I've tried to share here this evening, is to help people get a clearer understanding, an anchor for these difficult times. We can't just have this Sunday go to meet and Americanized churchianity. It's not going to last. It's not going to stand.
Boy, it's not
what's
standing.
Coming
it's
upon,
not lasting. It's not
standing,
standing at all.
You're right.
Go ahead.
So I'm hoping that this is some encouragement to people, because we have to rethink what it means to be a true follower and disciple of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
This is not a time to play games anymore. No more Bible-belt churchianity. It's time to get serious. It's time to seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the righteous man his thought, unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will abundantly pardon. That's our hope.
Very, very well done. Very well done. Very, very well presented, Brother Chuck. This has been, I've enjoyed this from the get-go. This has been very well done.
And only way I could do that is if you had bitten your tongue three times.
If you done what now? I'm sorry.
I said the only way I could have done that is you had bitten your tongue three times.
Well, it's sore. I guess it's why I didn't interrupt too much. Every time I try to talk, it hurts. But that was very well done. Folks, now you know why I listen to this gentleman's broadcast when I have a chance for today. And I know the phone calls are quiet tonight because I know you're listening. That's a sign that you're paying attention. And I appreciate that, too, because I know that you're learning something tonight just like I am. And it's been a blessing to learn these things. I want to ask you a question that's been on my mind, though, ever since I heard you say this some months ago in your program. You said something about the metric system being part of the Babylonian system or something along those lines. Can you explain what you said, what you meant by that?
Oh, man, I don't remember all that I did there. I did a whole program on that. And, you know, it goes back to the French Revolution, though.
Okay.
And here's the root of it. The whole thrust of the French Revolution, by the way, which is a type of the governorship of the Antichrist. It's like a precursor. It showed us in history what it will be like, except it's going to be on steroids. But the French Revolution was a monstrous, total anti-God movement to get rid of every vestige of Christianity. Well, in other words, they wanted to change the dates and the times. They didn't want anything related to a Christian calendar. They didn't want a seven-day week, so they changed the week to 10 days, from 7 to 10 days. They didn't want anything that resembled anything Christian, or that could be even traced to anything Christian or biblical. So in that context, they devised the metric system. That was why they devised the metric system. Now, you can say, well, what a great system that was. You can argue whatever you want, and I understand that. All multiples of 10 and hundreds and so on. I understand that. But the motivation behind it was to get rid of every vestige of Christianity or anything related to the Bible whatsoever. They did not want the word seven, the number seven in anything.
Really?
Yeah.
That I heard you say that, and I didn't quite grasp it also. The French Revolution wouldn't deal with everything that referred to God, and especially the number seven.
Oh. Yeah, so well, that's right. And let's follow where that went. Not only was there, first of all, there was what was called the Terror. Charles Dickens wrote about that in his Tale of Two Cities. Then, after about 2 or 3 years of the Terror, came the Great Terror. That's just like the Great Tribulation that Jesus talked about, see? Then, toward the end of that, the guy Robespierre, who was the fair-haired child of the whole French Revolution, was declared Messiah. Did you know that?
He was declared
Messiah. And he only reigned as Messiah one day until the wicked spirit of the French Revolution actually took off his head as well.
Wow.
I tell you, the French Revolution is a type, an amazing, colorful type in history, a precursor to what is coming very quickly in our world.
Let's take a phone call from Arizona. Let's talk to Gary. Gary, come on in. Welcome.
Hi, Butch, and Pastor, I believe I've talked with you in the past. I was the guy that was out on the street standing up for little bitty babies. I think it was about a year ago that you were on there. I don't know if I'm correct on that or not, but if you're not, we're talking now. So the word obey, I'm glad that you brought that up. You know, I've been to many, many churches and trying to just speak up and be a voice for preborn babies. And I didn't have much success with that, unfortunately, but that's okay. People can go to church and go home and do whatever they want to do. But you talked about obey. And so, you know, I have a book of do's. Just a little book. Every time I read scripture or something, and it says, go and do likewise. You know, the book of James, said faith without works is dead. See, you have to have a do. See, that's obeying. If you obey God, you'll do something to glorify God.
Amen.
And you will let God be glorified through you. Through you.
Amen. Mm-hmm.
And bring forth good. And bring forth good works. Because it's His Spirit that's within you that brings that forth. It's not Gary, or it's not you, Butch, or your guest. You know, it's the very Spirit of God. And I like to talk to people about that, because Jesus said, the same Spirit that's in me shall be in you.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Jesus said that.
That's true.
I'm just repeating what He told to His disciples. And, you know, everybody doesn't have an Acts chapter 2 experience, you know, or so on and so forth. But just by reading His Word, one day I just said, well, I'm going to write down the do's. And I was amazed at how many times it said that. So, you know, you could go to church, well, I sang in a choir or I did this, and I'm for all that kind of stuff. You know, but we're supposed to shout it from the rooftops that Jesus Christ is Lord. And we should have, according to Ephesians, right? We should have works. That God ordained from the beginning, that we have good works, and those good works are something mm-hmm. that you do, not just what yeah. you talk about.
Amen.
Right. They don't save us, but they're manifestations of our faith.
Amen.
Absolutely. And so, many will come to me in that day and say, Lord, Lord, have we not done many works? And he said, depart from me, I knew you not. And so, your good works is not going to save you, but you should be bringing forth something that Amen. Has eternal value. And it's getting late, so I'll
get off. Righteousness.
That bring forth the fruit. Bring forth fruit, or be hewn down, cast into the fire. That's just the way it is.
Very good. Absolutely. So I just wanted to add that. And God bless you both. God love you. I sure do.
Thank you, Gary. What a sweet phone call. Thank you. And very good point. Very good point. You know, the works, as James said, works faith without works is dead. You say you have faith, and he said, well, you show me your faith, and I'll show my faith by my works. So, folks, we're not preaching works for salvation by any means, but we are preaching that if you're born truly born again and walking in Christ, you're going to have works. You're going to have fruit. That's all there is to it. We're down about the last minute and a half. Brother Chuck, tell folks how you can find you online, how to listen to your program.
Well, thank you so much. Our program can be found at saveus.org. That's Save Us, Save U.S., not Save USA, but saveus.org. And it airs every day. People can listen to the archives of our programs there that are up there for a year or so. All of our many books and materials that are all designed to prepare people to be able to do the will of the Father for such a time as this. One book called Hearts of the Fathers, Leaving the Legacy of the Last, is actually written for the very purpose of building out Malachi's final word. It's God's second to last word to the world before the Lord comes, and it is that before the great and terrible day of the Lord, he will call forth the spirit of Elijah to call the hearts of the fathers to the children, hearts of the children to the fathers.
Amen.
So that's right there on the website. So bless you. Thank you so much for joining.
I'll be talking to you, Brother Chuck. God bless you. I appreciate it. Folks, I'll see you in the office tomorrow between 9 and 4. Talk to you there. Bye-bye.
Satan's army roams the land, seeking souls of fallen men.
Melody Cederstrom and CSE Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interests of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSETalkRadio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading 1-800-375-4188 or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together working to preserve liberty and bring America home.